Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
I'm going to ask you to do something I rarely do, and that's stay with me at the end of the service. I'll end it a little bit early. Have a special announcement. No, I won't be singing, but I do have a special announcement, and you'll want to stay for that. You know, since we have a family service in the 8:30 service, I've been doing kid jokes, and I'm running out of jokes, guys. So, I've got a bad one. Do you want to hear it anyway? Okay. You got to participate. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Tank.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I've lost all dignity. Now, here's the deal. If you're going to complain about my jokes that Kurt Maddox sends me, you got to send me an email and list 2 points from the message and send me a joke. That's the only way I take complaints. So you got to send a joke, list 2 points from the message, and then you can complain. And you go ahead and send the joke. You send them. I'll clean them. We'll work from there. All right? I want to talk this morning about when you have a God, you have options. I think one of the most discouraging things you can ever face in life is feeling like you're stuck. I don't know about you, but I can tell you about me. I would rather drive an hour out of my way than be stuck in traffic and not moving at all. I will move. Just help me, please. Just get me out of here. We were going on a family vacation years ago, and we were going to the beach, and we're going down I-10. Through Louisiana and Mississippi, not my favorite highway, and they decided to shut down everything but one lane on I-10 on a Saturday in June. Yes, that's exactly what I said. And I'm about to lose my pastoral, all of it. It's getting bad. And thank God we had Matt's wife, Kelly, who's a logistical genius, and she had us all over Mississippi, but we're moving. There's no Buc-ee's anywhere on where we were, but we kept moving. I just don't like feeling like I'm stuck. Or how about a dead end, where you just feel like, man, I'm just at a dead end. There's nothing beyond this. There's the professor at Harvard who was a physician for years who wrote a book called The Anatomy of Hope, and he said one of the most important things that you can ever offer people in healing is offer them hope. And hope for him meant a pathway to a better future. A pathway to a better future. Something beyond where we are. I can see a path beyond that. Viktor Frankl was in concentration camps during the Holocaust, Jewish man. And he noticed that the people who survived the Holocaust and survived in those camps were not the physically strongest. It were the ones that had some future-oriented hope. They had a hope of something they were going to do, a book they needed to write, a piece of music they needed to write, a child they needed to see. He said those were the ones. They had hope. And so hope is that expectation of good. It's that path to something more. But what happens when you can't see a path? And that's a frustrating thing. You can't see anything beyond what you're facing, and you're thinking, man, I don't know this, but you know, the good news is, for a believer, we're not in that position because we have an alternate reality. Because if you have God, you have hope. You may have come to the end where you think there's nothing beyond, but I'll tell you, with God, there's always something beyond, and there's always hope. When I was a kid, I used to love the idea of a secret passageway. I was just fascinated by those secret things, and so I wanted my parents to build in my bedroom where I could press on a shelf and it would turn, and they weren't going to do it. But I thought I liked that idea of you look at something and you go, there's no way beyond that. Ah, but there's a secret. And with God, if you have God, you have hope. Because with God, you may see a wall, but then God sees beyond that wall and he's able to move beyond that. So you say, well, Alan, I don't know that I have God. Well, if you are a believer, if you've made Jesus your Lord, then you are in a position where not only do you have God, you're close to Him. Look at this in Ephesians. Paul is writing to people who were not Jewish. He said, in those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now, you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. See, he was talking to people who they weren't Jewish. They had no idea of the Jewish law and the Jewish covenant. And he's saying, when you were there, you were without God and without hope. But thank God, everywhere he went, Paul preached the message of Jesus Christ. And people who did not have any Jewish background would begin to receive Christ. He said, you've been united with Christ and you brought near to God by the blood of Christ. So you don't have to ask yourself, well, do I have a God? Does God care about me? You've been brought near to Him by the blood of Jesus. You have a God. And if you have a God, you have hope. You've heard of Sleepless in Seattle? Joy and I went through Hopeless in North Carolina. Joy talked a little bit about it today, but we had moved here, left a nice house. We didn't have a nice house there. We left a nice house, left a good job in the city. You hear the people laughing right now? They're my age. That's a 70s reference, right? Left a good job in the city. We didn't have a good job. We went there. We tried to start a church in my hometown. It was probably textbook on how you don't do it. And we had it for a month. And my mother stopped coming. When your mother won't come to your church anymore, that's your sign. You're done. And we shut it down. And it was sad that we shut it down, but it was sad that the economic situation we were in, but what was sadder was that we didn't feel like we had any options. We felt like we had hit a dead end. And I couldn't see anything beyond that. See, that's what hope is. You can't see beyond where you are. You say, well, Alan, I thought you were a Christian. I was. But I wasn't looking beyond the situation to God. Got a call one day from my pastor back in Texas, John Osteen, Joel's father. And John Osteen called us and he said, Alan, you're not a failure, you're a learner. Come back. And when he said that, it's like the light cut on for us. You see, when hope shows up, it's like shining the light in a dark place. He said, come back. We'd never even thought about it. We thought, come back. Yeah, we can come back to Texas. Now, this was October. We didn't have money to come back. We didn't have a job back here. We had nothing, but we had hope because we believed this was God, that God was calling us to come back to Texas. And if you've got God, you can see beyond the situation. And he turned that whole situation around. I got a good job. Money, crazy money came in. We're just out of money. Joyce had a relative sold some swamp land in Florida. And money came into us. We were able to buy a house that we used to rent. God turned our finances around in 6 months. Guys, if you got God, you've got hope. And you can see beyond the situation. You say, Alan, that's great for you, Alan. You were a preacher. No, I was a sales rep. And I came back as a sales rep. This doesn't just apply to preachers. This applies to people who say, I've got a God. Because I've got a God, I've got hope. I'll give you a story in the Bible. You probably read it this week. Everybody here at the Ark reads the Bible 365. And this is from the story of Paul and Silas going to the city of Philippi. And Paul and Silas were early missionaries. Everywhere they went, there were no churches. So they're in Philippi, and some little demon-possessed girls following them around, screaming, these men are servants of the Most High God. They show us the way to salvation. You think, well, that's the truth. Yeah, but you don't need a demon-possessed person advertising for you. And so after about 3 days, Paul turned around, cast the demon out of the girl, and man, all of a sudden, she's free. But she can't tell fortunes anymore. And he shut down the most profitable psychic hotline in Philippi at that time. And so now it made people mad. And in this situation, we're going to hear in this story, here's what we're going to see. We're going to see three men in two different approaches. One had a God and hope. One had no God and no hope. Read the story here. The crowd joined in the attack against them. That's Paul and Silas. And the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. Now, this is not like a switch. This is like a wooden rod that they would beat you with. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself since he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out in a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, because we're all here." And the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. Paul and Silas were facing what you would call, and I would call, a pretty hopeless situation. I mean, we read, well, they were beaten with rods. A number of years ago, there was a young man from the U.S. who was in Singapore. They caught him vandalizing some cars. Some of you may remember that. And in Singapore, they were going to cane him. There were these canes that they're going to pick up and give him five licks with a cane. America just blew up. And I think they wound up giving him three. But here, Paul and Silas, they got beaten with rods. These are wooden rods. We don't know if they broke ribs, but man, they laid a lot of stripes on them. And so you know they're hurting. If you've ever been beaten like that, or even come close to beating like that, some of you who play football and remember two-a-days, you feel like you've been beat up. But now they got their feet in stocks, so now their feet can't move. And they're in the darkest part of the prison. If anything, this looked completely hopeless. Looked like this is a dead end. We're stuck, literally. There's no way out of this. And yet, Paul and Silas had God. They had a God. And so instead of just being despondent, instead of crying, instead of being upset, Paul and Silas were able to look beyond that situation, and they're praying and they're singing hymns to God. They're praying and singing. Didn't say they were praying and crying. They're praying and singing. They're worshiping God and praying in the middle of that prison, in the hurt, in the dark, in the uncertainty of what they're facing, and yet they knew they had a God. They began to pray and sing, and the prisoners were listening to them because hope has a voice. And when there's hope, people pay attention. The world is sitting in darkness, and they're looking for hope. They need to hear it in us. And so they're praying and singing, and God just miraculously, he moved and shook that place, shook the foundations. The whole place didn't crumble. Everyone's chains came off, and everyone was freed. And that's a great earthquake. Now, people talk about earthquakes being an act of God. That one was an act of God. And that freed people. It didn't hurt people. And so here they are in that situation. Now, when we get to heaven, this is Alan's theory. So this is not scripture. This is Alan's theory. I don't believe Paul and Silas knew we're going to pray and sing and God's going to send an earthquake. I think Paul and Silas knew we got a God that's bigger than this situation and can get us out. So we're going to pray. We're going to talk to him. We're going to worship him. And if we've got, listen, I don't have to have all the answers if I know I've got God's help. If I've got a God, I don't have to figure everything out. I bet you they did not have everything figured out. I bet you they just said, no, we know God can get us out of this. And they are praying and singing, and God got them out. That was one approach. There's another approach, though. That was the jailer. The jailer woke up and saw all the doors opened, and the jailer didn't have a God. And he thought his situation was hopeless. He was inaccurate. But he thought his situation was hopeless. He thought everyone had escaped. And if everyone had escaped in the jails in those times, they would kill the jailer. So he's going to take his life before He gave someone else a chance to take it. He was going to take things into his own hands because he could not see a way out of that. Oh, so many people who harm themselves, who take their lives in their own hands. It's not that God doesn't love them. It's God doesn't care. It's that they don't realize there's still hope. And you may look at a situation and feel like my situation is hopeless. I'm telling you right now, the same thing Paul told that person, do not harm yourself. There is hope. There is help out there. You don't have to do that. So here he was, and God had mercy. The Lord had such mercy on this jailer. I mean, here he is. He's about to kill himself. And Paul, from the inner prison, where he couldn't see the jailer, cries out, don't harm yourself. We're all here. Now, how in the world would he have known that? It's too dark. He can't see anything. Well, thank God we got a God. The Holy Spirit can tell Paul, tell this guy not to hurt himself. And so they call that in spiritual gifts. They call that a word of knowledge. And so he calls out, don't harm yourself. And the guy stopped. He brought a light. He fell in. He comes before Paul and Silas and he goes, what do I need to do to be saved? Aren't you glad Paul didn't say, you need to clean your life up. You need to get your act right. You need to do. He said, look, you just need to believe on Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your whole household. And he took them out and washed them and gave them a meal. And the Bible said, and I love this. It said, and he was rejoicing because he had come to believe in God. He was rejoicing because he believed. He was suicidal. Now he's rejoicing, and it's God that made the difference. He is now he's got a God, he's got hope. What a great story. I love that. I love the fact that he goes from there to there. When you have hope. So you read a story like that, and you know me. I read a story like that, and I'm like, okay. How does that apply to my life? I don't want just to read a story and go, oh, that was cool. Man, I'm glad that happened. No, what does it mean for me? What does it mean for you? So here's some things. Because you have a God, you have to embrace the idea that you can be close to God. Embrace the idea that you can be close to God. You see, Paul and Silas weren't trying to work a formula. They weren't in prison, and Paul didn't look at Silas and go, okay, you know what? Okay, here's the formula. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. There's going to be an earthquake. God will set us free. No, they didn't have a formula. They had a relationship. They were close to God. You say, well, whoa, Alan, that's Paul and Silas, and he was a great apostle, and Silas was a prophet, and man, these guys were amazing, and I'm not amazing. No, listen. It's not that Paul and Silas were preachers. Paul and Silas had a relationship with God, and you can have a relationship with God too, because Jesus said this in Mark 9:23. Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. See, what happens is we get this idea that they're special or I can't do this and I can't do that because I'm not special or I'm not amazing or I'm not someone that God would even want to be close to. And that's so not true. That is so not true. Because all things are possible to him that believes. So what we have to do is get rid of some of this limited thinking that's holding us back. 1954 in May, a man from the UK by the name of Roger Bannister did something that was biologically impossible. Doctors had said for years that no one could physically run a mile in less than 4 minutes. No one could do it. They said your lungs would burst, your body would collapse, you can't do it. Roger Bannister did it. In May 6, 1954, 2 weeks later, another guy ran less than 4 minute mile. Before the decade was out, 26 people had run less than a 4 minute mile. And in the 60s and 70s, it began to explode. In fact, 1964, a high schooler ran less than a 4 minute mile. And now over 2,000 runners have run less than a 4 minute mile, which used to be impossible. But when somebody believed it was not impossible and believed that barrier could be broken, it came down. As long as you believe you can't get close to God, you won't. But if you will believe God, you've taken care of that. You say, well, you don't know my background. You don't know my experience. You don't know what I've done. No, I do know this. Jesus solved all of that at the cross. When he took your sins and he paid the price, it was solved. It was done. So now what do you say? See, now it's up to us to go, oh, thank God. I can be close to God. I can come close to him. Nothing's holding me back. You're unlimited in that area. Here's the second one. Stay connected by prayer and rejoicing. This is a connection thing because we have a God. How do we stay connected to Him? Listen, don't disconnect when you look at your situation and go, I can't see beyond this. I can't see any other way. Don't disconnect. That's the time to pray because you've got a Father that loves you. Maybe you've come from a situation where you weren't loved by a Father. Your Heavenly Father's different and He loves you. And you can talk to Him, and you can pray, and He will see you, and He will hear you. Peter was writing to the church, and he wrote this years after he'd walked with Jesus. He said, for the one who wants to love life and see good days. Anybody in here besides me want to love life and see good days? Man, I'm all up for that. Let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do what is good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Because the eyes of the Lord are, catch this, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are, what's that next word? Open to their prayer. His eyes are on us. His ears are open to the prayer, but the Lord, face of the Lord is against those who do what's evil. He's saying, listen, you're trying to live this life. I know that. You're trying to do the best you can. Basically, Peter's saying, watch the words that you speak. Watch how you treat people. But then understand that when you're praying, God sees and God hears. The one who made the eye and made the ear knows how to hear. He's not ignoring you. And so you can talk to Him. You can pray. You say, well, do I have to be on my knees? Nope. Do I have to be in my closet? Nope. You can be driving down the road praying. I do that a lot for the people in front of me that need... especially the ones in my lane that I'm praying for blessings for them. No, I'm talking to the Lord and just praying. And you can talk to Him because He sees, because He hears. There's a, in China right now, there's an underground church that's huge. Some estimate over 300 million. And in China, there's a lot of persecution. In fact, they just ramped it up recently and arrested some more Christian leaders. They're doing it all the time. But there's one, his brother's name was Brother Zong. That's how they refer to him. It's probably an alias. He said he was part of a church network, a leadership network. And they were in a training session, and the authorities broke in and arrested all the leaders. He's one of the leaders. They took him to a prison. They shaved their heads. They interrogated them. And then they told them, we're going to put you into the main population. We're going to put you in with the other prisoners. And they're hard on Christians. They beat up Christians. Brother Zong said he began to pray. And he's asking God for his help. He and another leader were ushered into a cell. And in that cell were 16 gang members. They lined up on both sides. And they were all doing this. And Brother Zong said, now he's really praying. Quietly, but just, Lord, help. The gang leader looked at him and said, what are you in here for? Brother Zong said, because we're Christians. The gang leader said, do you beat people up? He says, no. He said, do you sing? He says, yes. The gang leader said, sing a song. So Brother Zong and his friends sang a song. Had to be a Christian song because they said, as they began to sing it, they began to weep. And the Holy Spirit fell in that jail cell. And when they looked up, all 16 gang members are weeping and crying. And the gang leader said, share the gospel with us. And he began to tell them about the gospel. And day after day, he said, those gang members hungered to hear the gospel, and they began to get saved one after another. So many got saved that one Sunday they had a worship service. They decided in the jail cell. And the guard busted in and said, who's responsible for this? If you don't confess, I'll punish everybody. And Brother Zong stood up and said, I'm responsible. They made him strip and laid up against the wall so that, you know, all the pressure was on his legs. And then the gang leader stripped and stood beside him. And then all the others stripped, and the whole cell got up against the wall, and the guard got frustrated and walked out. And the one guy who had held out for 3 years became a believer right then. God sees, God hears. There's a God who can move in jail cells. There's a God who can move in your life. He is the God of hope, and He sees beyond your situation. Don't stop praying. Don't stop talking to Him. Here's the other way to connect. Connect by rejoicing. Paul wrote the church. Ironically, he wrote the church in Philippi, the same city where he had been put in prison, the same city where God got him out of prison. Look what he says. He said, in addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write this again about this is no trouble for me. It's a safeguard for you. He actually repeated himself in the fourth chapter, and he just began to write. He said, hey, rejoice in the Lord. He didn't say rejoice because you see how everything's working out. He didn't say rejoice because everything feels good. He said simply rejoice in the Lord. If anyone understood the power and connection in rejoicing, it was Paul. And he understood that the rejoicing, you see, when you're rejoicing, you can't be complaining at the same time. When you're rejoicing, you can't be despondent at the same time. We rejoice because we believe. Just like that jailer, he rejoiced because he believed. We rejoice because we believe we've got a God. We rejoice because we believe that God will help us. In 2021, we had that freeze. You remember that nasty freeze we had? Oh, I remember it. Power went out. Sitting in my bedroom, and all of a sudden I hear this high-pitched whine, and it goes, and water starts pouring into our bedroom. Busted pipe. Joy comes running in there. She's looking at me. She's wide-eyed. We're watching water pour into the bedroom. And I had just preached a message on rejoicing and giving thanks. Like, oh, great. So I look at Joy, and I said, we need to rejoice. And my wife looked at me, and she said, you go first. I said, all right, I'll do that. But I'm not rejoicing because there's water pouring into the bedroom. I'm rejoicing because I know a God that can help us, and we're going to come through this, and we still have hope. We don't rejoice because of what we see around us. We rejoice because of what we see beyond us. And if you've got God, you've got hope. You've got options. That's why we rejoice. Guys, let me close with this, but don't take off. But let me close with this. Life is different when you have a God. It's different. In Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 7, it says, blessed is the man or the woman who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. It didn't say whose hope is the government. It didn't say whose hope is the job. It didn't say whose hope is your spouse. It says your hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots to the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Life is different when you have a God. When you have a God, you've got hope. You've got options. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? If you came today and you say, you know what, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure. Or maybe you were like I was. You were there, but you got away from God. And you know in your heart, I need to come back. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come down to the front. If you're watching online, this prayer is still for you as well. But we're going to give you a chance to connect with the God of hope, the God who sees beyond your situation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you, you say, Alan, I want to be sure, or I want to come back to the Lord. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up just real quick across this auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Anybody else say, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Great. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one leaving will be out of here. I need you to give me just a few minutes. But we need to pray this prayer. If you're watching online, this prayer is a great prayer for you. We're going to pray it with you together. We're going to pray it out loud. You join us. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Thank you, Father, for those who prayed that prayer. Thank you for those who come to you and those who've come back. We rejoice with them that now you're their God, the God of hope. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.